Welcome, After Buzzers, to the Terror After Show. Tonight we're talking Colin's demise, the trial of Hickey, and the return of Toonbach. Plus, we're here with executive producer and showrunner David Kajanik. So, don't go anywhere.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Another appropriate song choice. Thank you, Danny, for that suggestion.
You're welcome.
So, guys, welcome to tonight's episode was Terror Camp Clear, and like I mentioned before, we have a special guest with us in studio.
Yes.
So he's going to be here chatting with us about the episode today, answering some of our questions. So if you're in the chat, make sure you send them in. We're looking, and we'll make sure we ask them for you. So, yeah, let's get started here. Basically, well, since we have you, let's start and ask you a question. Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, I'm Krista. And with me today, besides our special guest.
Hey, happy Monday. What's up, my beautiful people? Danny Royce here.
Hey, it's me, Cherry Davis.
What's up, party people? It's me, Erica Edwards.
So, yeah, what I was going to ask is, what piqued your interest initially in the story? And what made you want to adapt it into the show?
Well, I think if you want to unpack character, mm-hmm. like really unpack character in an interesting way, you go to an emergency. I mean, people really reveal who they are in an emergency. And if you've got an emergency like this that lasts for years, the potential to actually see choice by choice by choice by choice how a character evolves or devolves is just too good an opportunity. So if you add to that these incredible landscapes and structures that feel sometimes like a horror movie, sometimes like a war movie, sometimes like a Western. Mm-hmm. You get to mash up all these genres and, you know, you throw in a kind of a monster in the middle of it. I mean, it's just too much fun. And it's just there's too many insights to be had, I think, in a narrative like this where you get to examine people so closely under stress. So that's one of the reasons I loved this story.
In which we saw that a lot in this episode especially. We had a lot going on. Toonbach finally came back. We saw
Toonbach.
Yeah.
My boy Toonbach. No.
Collins became lunch to Toonbach, but he was, yeah. So what did you guys think overall of this episode?
And I loved the episode. Like I said, every episode it gets, you know, grittier and grittier. I love the characters we're seeing more evolving, especially Hickey. Man, that was just a lot that happened tonight. Fitzjames.
We did have a lot happening
tonight. Yeah, it was like Fitzjames is kind of his whole health, you know, is going down. Everyone's health is going down. Not just the monster of Toonbach, but the monsters of people's minds, you know.
Yeah.
People are losing it, going mad. They're getting sick. It's no food. It's just crazy. And I loved it. I love the episode.
I know Toonbach is the monster, but for me, Hickey is the true monster.
Yes.
He's reprehensible. And every time I look at him, I'm like, I would not want to be on a Carnival cruise with this man.
I totally love this episode. I missed you guys last week, so sorry. Toonbach or whatever, still an ugly. I feel like you all could have made him like, I don't know, his face. I'm just like, he's still like this rabid polar bear. But okay, he's not the supernatural being I thought originally. But then it's so funny because like I'm like that with Hickey, but I feel like I saw that, like, sociopath in Hickey, like, maybe episode 3 or something.
Right, exactly.
Like, so long ago, I was like, oh, he's going to be a problem. They're going to have to kill him, like, a million episodes ago, I feel like.
It's true.
Like, oh, okay. And then each episode, I was like, oh, yeah, you guys, he's totally a psychopath.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's like, I don't know, like, Ted Bundy, but he wants to be your leader. And so it's just interesting to see how it unfolds and how he's really, like, just using racism and so many things to control people's minds. It's just really good writing.
I feel like it was a slow build-up, though. When we first saw Hickey, we knew something was off, but it's been fun to watch how it's gotten so worse.
I know.
From original to episode 8,
right.
And now we're like, there he is.
Exactly. I just feel like every time I get on any panel, I'm always like, oh, Erica, you're such a dark person. I'm like, oh, yeah, he was just, I was like, once he dropped his draws, I was like, you guys, if you don't kill him after this, he's going to kill all of you.
He was so nice when he signed up, well, the person who signed up first, the original Hickey, and then this dude that rolled up on the boat.
Oh yeah, we didn't learn more about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, he looked crazy when he signed up. Like, he was up to something or escaping something. But I think that was good foreshadow too.
Yeah, but then remember, too, that episode where he and the captain had drinks with each other. Right. And it's like to think that this is really your mortal enemy by, like, whatever episode mm-hmm. we're on is so interesting. He's like, yeah, we're both from Ireland. We both, and then we shared our whiskey. Right. He's like, yeah, but you crazy, though. But, you know, so it was so cool.
Yeah. Well, and I also liked how we started this episode. We always have a little moment of hope in there, and it started out with Fitz James and Crozier just, you know, having this little bond where he's telling him the story of how he grew up out of an affair and was raised by some cousins, and mm-hmm. at the end he's like, I've never told anyone this, I was named at my baptism, and he says something where, are we brothers at the end, and I was like, we always get just a little moment before it all goes to hell, you know? And it's just a little bit of hope that they throw in there, even though we know how this series is going to end, you still get those moments, so it's kind of easy to, like, it's so hard because you feel for them and you want them to make it, but you just know they don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome because it shows the character's vulnerability,
yeah.
And it shows, you know, at these last moments that, you know, you're willing to tell your darkest secrets.
Yeah.
I mean, and as far as the characters progressing, do you see yourself in some of these characters at all?
Well,
some that are still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
just started airing a couple weeks ago in the UK, and the network that it's on in the UK put together a quiz online, and you answer all these questions, and it tells you who on the expedition you're most like. So I took it, and I'm a good sir.
Really? We gotta take this. We definitely have to take this.
Cool. We don't have a hickey in our studio.
We
talk
about it a lot, how hierarchy plays such a big role in this, especially when it came to in the beginning with Franklin and then Fitz James now too. How did you guys want to build that dynamic between these three characters?
Well, it was easy at first because we wanted the narrative to feel like it was a typical kind of hierarchy narrative. Mm-hmm. So you're paying most attention to the captains, some attention to the lieutenants, and then occasionally attention to sort of the guys in the lower classes. Mm-hmm. And we knew we wanted to start there so that as this disaster sort of rendered things like your background, your level of education, your rank kind of useless, you know, that wasn't going to be the thing that saved you. You were going to have other tools at your disposal.
Right.
It was going to be interesting to watch the hierarchy fall apart. So we wanted to start with this idea that you have a kind of, you know, in Kieran Hines, you think you've got your protagonist for the show. And we knew, of course, we were going to be pulling him out of the narrative in episode 3.
Really quickly. Mm-hmm.
Leaving these two men as the second and third in command, neither of whom is prepared to lead the expedition. But if you kind of combined their best qualities, you would have had a great captain. And then we knew we were going to have 7 more episodes to show how they can kind of work together and evolve as people to the point where they are fantastic leaders. And we're now in the point in the episode where you're starting to see how good a Captain Crozier really is.
I agree.
And how good a Captain Fitzjames really is. Yes.
That's why I kind of like that they're not on the boat anymore, because that, like you said, the hierarchy, it starts to disappear, which you could see all the boys on the bottom of the boat eating while they were up in their chambers. And it's just, I like how now everyone's the same path and they're all fighting for their life. So it's a totally different dynamic.
And oh my gosh, this is so corny, but I'm going to say, like, I love the whole story about, you know, they named me and it's James Fitzjames. And I'm like, can everybody have a story? Because there's so many people. And I'm always like, wait, what's his name? What's that character's name? And like,
now I'm never
James Fitzjames. I got that one. Like, I am so good with that. And so I'm like, I need everybody to have like a little, this is what happened in my baptism. And then I remember because I loved that part.
Yeah, I agree. Well, so after our small moment of hope, it goes back to showing us how the situation's really taking a turn. Everyone's, like, their general deterioration of the crew. Mm-hmm. People are really starting to get sick. Even Fitzjames is starting to, which I wasn't expecting. I mean, it had to happen to everyone eventually. But I was like, no.
he's like, eventually I had to eat some cam. I was eating steaks all in the beginning, but sooner or later,
like, not
I
you.
Got that nasty cam meat like everybody else.
Everybody has to eat the cam
I know.
Meat.
Well, and then this is when we find out that our friend Collins is taking the Peruvian. And yeah, and we know how that ends. So, but before we get there, well, this is all going back on. We find out that Hickey's been telling, he came back to camp and he's told everyone that the Inuits are savage and they've killed his team, and everyone kind of believes him except for the captains because they're smart. But so they go to investigate it, but first they kind of tell Lady Silence, they have her look at the body and she's like, these aren't my people. And then they bring her to the scene, and she has to see all of her friends. And, yeah, that right. whole scene, I just felt so bad for her.
It was crazy.
This girl, she's lost her tongue right. by her own, you know, she did it, but she's still, like, she's had a rough couple. She didn't even sail in with them, and she's feeling that.
Yeah, he did exactly what I thought he was going to do, Hickey. Just go back and just turn everyone against the natives. But also, Crozier and, like you said, the captains, they found out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Like,
I thought that was going to play out longer.
Yeah, I knew they were going to find out eventually and be onto it and not trust Hickey. But, yeah, Crozier was, like, on it, like, quick.
So, David, I think that would be because they knew the Inuit and they know how they hunt fight.
Although... Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, Crozier's had experience with Inuit communities. He speaks Inuktitut. He's been given a nickname on previous expeditions. So he sees this, he hears this story, and he thinks this doesn't jive with anything I've experienced about this culture. And then brings Lady Silence to look, and she's obviously, you know, clearly saying this has nothing to do with my way of life or my community's way of life. And so, you know, that leaves very few options in terms of what really happened.
Exactly. But what I found interesting was, I mean, obviously Hickey did this or whatever, but it was like, okay, now that we found the seal meat, he's going to hang. So part of me is like, yeah, you know, the captain really obviously believes that he's wrong or whatever, but part of him, I think, realizes this person is a threat to my leadership, and this is the quickest way for me to get rid of him. Because I was kind of like, oh, wait a minute, ain't nobody going to discuss it. We don't have no trial.
Yeah.
And you just were like, oh, yeah, bring the carpenter. We're going to hang him.
I mean, evidence was like, clear, so.
Yeah,
I was like, okay. I mean, it's good evidence. I'm not doubting that, but I was like, you have your own little motives going on as well. So that was interesting, I thought.
And also, ship's rules, I think that they are God, and they can literally do whatever they want.
Sure. I mean, I will say I started writing that scene, the court-martial scene, and I was like, everyone knows everything in this scene already. So this is going to be a real waste of momentum.
Right, right. No, I agree with you, but it was kind of, to me, I felt like there was kind of something like, okay, I have to get, I think he realized even before, I have to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Of course,
and
This is a great opportunity.
Let me expedite this, but we all know he's guilty. Yes.
Right.
It did need to be expedited.
Because when he stripped down, at first I thought he was literally having some sort of mental breakdown. But I realized he stripped down because he wanted to be able to wipe the blood off of himself. Mm. And that was his powder keg flame moment, was to finally have an outside enemy to justify getting the guns and to justify everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Crozier in episode 6 at Carnival, when he stands up, he basically sells all of the men on walking south because of two things. One, he says, if we run into the Inuit, they will help us. And that obviously isn't sort of working out. And the other thing he says is there's already a rescue party that's probably on their way back. And we learn in the last episode that they were killed 16 miles from the ship. So now Crozier has, by Hickey's design, has no leg to stand on in terms of what he's promised the men, which causes Crozier to be in a situation where he now has to be completely honest and hope that that's enough.
Right.
It's true. Yeah, I think what I really liked about the scene is we finally saw some more of the Inuit culture, because before that we had seen Lady Silence and her father, and we were kind of like, where's the rest of them? What, you know, what is going on out there? So I guess my question to you would be, like, how important was that aspect of the storytelling?
Oh, huge.
Because they're a huge part of the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about sort of the themes of this show, you know, we start with this expedition and we are fully sort of attached to them. Mm-hmm. You know, we're sort of like a reporter that's kind of embedded in this kind of this hubristic sort of colonialist point of view. And we knew that we wanted to, by the end of the show, have completely gone to the other side of the continuum. And that meant that every episode we have to sort of pull back on our attachment to the sort of hierarchy, the British hierarchy, and step a little bit further into the Inuit community that they're, you know, this world that they're trespassing into. And so getting that right, but also timing everything right was important. The fact that people in the audience want to know more about that is the victory. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And so we give
it's
little pieces of
one of my favorite
it.
Parts of the show. I like learning more about them. I've, like, since Lady Silence has shown up, I've been like, I like her.
And I think it really brings to the forefront, like, how far back that our prejudice against Indigenous people really goes.
Right.
It's so interesting.
It's,
and then
the
even
fear of the unknown.
And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, and my friend had this cousin that went to Texas and all this stuff. It's like, wow, those, you know, how many hundreds of years have those prejudices just continued?
Yeah. And once again, they're invaders. So yeah. Really, they're like, oh, the horrible Apache came and killed everybody. It's like, kind of a backwards. Oh, yeah.
Right.
A little bit. Yeah, so then we go, well, after that, they go back to the camp, and obviously Lady Silence is still with them. And Fitz James comes out, because while they've been gone doing this, the camp's in upheaval. All of them are arming themselves. They're worried that Hickey's story is true, and it's out of control. Did you see that unraveling? I guess it's mutiny at this point, because it's everyone's so afraid. Right. So Dish they're just, it. Yeah. Right, what'd you think of all that was going back, and how Fitz James wasn't aware until it was 20 arms had already been given out, and it was just a lost cause at that point.
Well, Fitz James was worried about his falling skin. Yeah. his sores. But, yeah, that was, I mean, in any type of hostile situation when, mm-hmm. you know, you're scared, you don't know what's going on, you want to have something to protect yourself with, you know? So I think in doing this, Hickey, I mean, we saw how rabid he is as far as just killing these Inuit people that we didn't see in the last episode, but for no reason, you know? So we don't even know what he's capable of. And I'm interested to see the next episode because Hickey is, you know, took his men and we don't even know where they went.
So close.
And so I know that's not it. We haven't seen the last.
No.
For sure.
But I like that they're on two different journeys now. It's right. Gonna be two different interesting. Journeys,
but they're probably
gonna
meet again. I don't know.
Oh, they better.
I thought it was interesting because I couldn't figure out who was team Hickey and who was team. It was
by the end, I feel like yeah, I was even lost.
But I think also a lot of it for me too was the dichotomy, because then at the end it's all about, well, the Marines versus the Navy.
Right. Yeah.
So then that was kind of one thing that he was using to kind of, you know, keep the men separate. But what was interesting too, or when I watch it the whole time, every time I watch it, I'm like, okay, you know, you're giving these people guns and you're inciting in them this prejudice and, oh, this is what we have to do to get to control their minds. But you have to know in your heart, they're three steps away from Collins and that monkey. So you're like, okay, maybe they are hearing things because they're going crazy.
Right.
So it's like, it's so interesting, that dichotomy of he's clearly a psychopath or sociopath from the beginning and control them anyway, but they are like, you know, way down the lead poisoning path, so they're not in their right minds exactly. Anyway, and you're gonna give them a gun, so that's the part that's so interesting.
But they're so easily manipulated because they are
the environment.
Of course,
yeah.
Environment, yeah.
Did you hear the whistle? Yeah, I did.
No one heard a whistle.
It's like it's Tumbak.
Well, to me, I think I don't know, one of them, I was just like, okay, yeah, we're pretending to hear the whistle. Like, you know, I hate to be funny, but how the police be like, oh, yeah, I think I see drugs. I smell weed. I think I'm going to search you now. Like, it was that sort of vibe.
I feel threatened. Yeah, I thought that was really interesting with I knew the Marine was on the exploring, and I was fascinated with how good sir, and Silence's relationship has progressed. I kind of wanted him to leave with her.
He wanted to kiss her so bad.
I know. I was just going to ask you guys about that.
She was looking like, I might. At the end, she was like, maybe I'll give you some eventually. But he wanted to kiss her so bad.
So like, bad.
I've liked their relationship.
Yeah. That's
really
their relationship. Yeah. I love their relationship.
Exactly. I don't know. When that whole scene, how he was like, no, go. I want you to be safe. But then he's like, no, stay with us. We'll protect you. How would you guys, the development of their relationship, I loved it so far.
Well,
but it's so tragic at the end. Does it get more tragic?
Well, first of all, it's not the end. So.
I know, but she's gone. She's run
she's
out of her
in the
people.
Fog, but we already know. She knows how to survive. She's
right.
Been eating seals and
it's
stuff. That
so
monster
much
likes
fun
her.
To know what's coming.
Yeah. Oh, I'm jealous.
You have some things in store. But the most important thing to us about Lady Silence's character is that she, unlike most characters in narratives like this, that she not become subservient to a white man's role.
Right.
We didn't want her to become anyone's wife, girlfriend, you know, victim.
And I'm so glad she wasn't gang raped, because every episode I'm like, if she goes back, five of them soldiers are going to take her down and they go do something before they kill her. And I was like, please don't let me see that.
And that's the other thing.
But she saved it.
I mean, she is, in a way, by this point in the season, you're starting to realize she and Crozier are actually a lot of like. A lot of like in the sense that they were both sort of captains of ships that they weren't initially given given control of. And they both have lost their ships at this point. And that puts them on kind of equal thematic footing in a way that I think people are, at this point in the series, are starting to realize, oh, there's a, there are parallels here between these two.
That's
She's as powerful in her context as he is in his context.
Yeah.
I guess that's why I like that she just walked away at the end. He's like, no, stay, we'll protect you. She's like, I'll protect myself.
Exactly. She was just like, wait a minute, do you remember? The monster came up to my tent, and I'm good. So I'll be fine.
He fed me. Good Sir is an awesome guy.
He's sweet.
Even when he realized that, he's like, okay, yeah, we're not going to be able to protect you. Like, he's just like, okay, we have to go. So,
she's a matchstick headed for the Tinder box. I think he said,
the whole camp needs some counseling.
Oh, everyone, yeah, of course.
Well, I am hoping that someone out there learns how to kill a seal. Because I'm like, the Eskimos are eating seal meat. You guys are still eating this lead-based canned meat.
Well, like, they've got a small bag of seal meat now.
Exactly. Light a fire. Put that on the grill. But I'm like, you guys, find a seal.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that they do.
Well, now that Lady Silence is gone, I think all hope of that is.
Yeah. You're right.
It went with her.
Well, folks, we are having a lot of fun here. But if you want to, to have fun, learn, grow in all areas of your life. For those who do, have we got a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it's us.
Yes, the Terror.
The Terror After Show that sent you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. Check it out right now.
Woo.
It's a great podcast.
It is, guys. And it's free. So
it is free.
Everyone loves that.
I like there's like nothing free in LA. So
there you go. Yeah.
They're like, what? Free?
Yeah. So going back to Terror, we've got now Lady Silence is gone, camps and mutiny, and we are left with Croizer needing to prove, because he has a feeling. He's not 100% sure, but he is. He knows. So he has Good Sir do an autopsy, and that's when they find the seal meat in his belly. And he's like, okay, so since Ivory obviously had it, they fed him, and now we know that Hickey was lying. And that's this is when you really see how far this mutiny's gotten, because he immediately is like, get the Marines, we have to get guns, but you can't trust the Marines now.
Right.
So it was just they had to step so lightly, because it's this point where he's been gone and everyone's got different emotions because they're all scared. So you got to figure out who to trust, because you know who's guilty, but you can't just go out there like swinging and just hope everyone is on the same page as you.
My favorite part of that was when Crozier was telling Jobson that you were trying to prevent a false invasion from the outside, where there's an invasion within.
That was such a good
line. That was such a good line. And so powerful, because
I wrote that one down too.
Right. And it was just, and definitely, I'm sure it's, foreshadow for things to come in the next previous
episode. Like, they're their own downfall. I know there's a lot of other elements. We've got Toonback and diseases, but
exactly.
At this point, they're each other's worst enemies, and it's,
That's true, but, like, I felt, for me personally, that at the point that they, as a boy or whatever, from that episode, Hickey was an invasion from within, because I was like, they have shamed him so far, he's not going to ever come back to that. And, to me, I was like, okay, if you don't kill him, he's going to be a problem.
Yes.
And so, and it's just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's so interesting, he's like, well, yeah, I want, I guess he feels like he should be the leader, so.
Yeah.
And the captain didn't trust him for a while, like, once he sort of realized what a big liar he was, and when he was so rebellious. Was that a cat of nine tail? When he was beating with the cat of nine tails.
Yikes.
And he kept lying, and he was like, what? You want more? And he was like, okay, yeah, well, that was a lot.
That's true.
That was a lot to watch,
though. Yeah.
That was horrifying.
That was a lot to watch, yeah.
And doing the cat of nine tail, I know you did not really hit the or anything, but how did you guys sort of, is that what they used historically to punish people?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, really, there's a video online of somebody who wanted to try to recreate what that must have been like, and they use a slaughtered pig, and they hang it on, you know, because the consistency of the hide is about, like, human skin, so they hang it on, and within, like, a few whacks, it's already cutting through, and you're like, how did this work? And when we looked at our research of how many people got lashed how many times in that year, it's like people were getting lashed left and right. It's kind of amazing anyone came back without a scar from those expeditions.
They did come back with scars. Cutting tails are not fun.
No. Well, yeah, so basically this takes us at the end. We finally, they get Hickey, and they also are hanging Toyser at this point, too.
Yes.
Which, appropriately. Right. So they have all the men out there, and we get a speech from our captain, and after he gives his speech, you know, Hickey has to have the final word. And how did you feel about this whole scene breaking down? And we had the captain, and then all the men are already shocked because they thought Hickey was telling the truth, and they just found out they could have been fed, but he killed their only hope of that. It was a lot to take in. Could you imagine being these poor men? They're like, what?
Right.
I trusted you, and now I trusted you, but you told me not to because the captain was going to leave me too. I'd be like, where am I supposed to go with this?
Right. I mean, the men are just, it's hard to be one of them.
Yeah.
Because they're just put in the middle. But, you know, Hickey had to get that last lie out, you know, to try to kind of save his hide, or his neck, I should say.
Typical Hickey.
Right. But Tumbach, I guess, came and saved the day, so to speak.
He finally came back, as you said he would.
Right. I was like, he's coming back. Cannibalism and Tumbach came back.
Guys. Yeah, he's two for two.
No, but yeah, it's insane. And I just knew exactly Hickey's motive. I mean, everything, he's just really crazy. And people like that will do any and everything to save themselves. Forget the men. Like Crozier said, he doesn't care about the men that he's bringing with. He doesn't care about them.
He cares about himself.
Yeah, they're just pawns in helping him get out and do what he needs to do.
And for me, Hickey feels like he doesn't want to go back to England.
No.
Because I think
no.
he right. escaped because he did something illegal or something.
Something. Where's that key number?
But he definitely does not give up on it. He's like one of those people that once they tell the lie, they stay on the lie, and they never admit it. And the fact that he still is taking his core group of people to escape. I don't understand how the other people could be fooled by him, because it wasn't like he was all that nice. And his lies just changed from...
Right.
It was like listening to...
But, no, go ahead.
Sorry. Well, what I liked about this final scene is that the way they presented it to the men... They both really have lied. The captor
and
Hickey.
That's what Hickey
says. So that's why
that's
why Hickey is persuasive, because a lot of what he said is actually the truth. Mm-hmm. It's how he framed it to the men.
Mm-hmm.
And the captain, maybe he, you know, he had these heroic reasons, but he lied too, or covered up, or however you want to look at it. So at the end of the day, it is hard to say, okay, if you were there, and you know, you're like lead-based, crazy, hungry mind. Well, okay, Hickey. Every time something happens, the person saying the story is persuasive because it's true. If, you know, if the Eskimos were out there, we would be defenseless. So let's get a gun.
Right.
So it is, so everything they've said has some truth to it, which was what really makes it persuasive. So, and that's why, you know, letting him have that last word is going to be tough, because even if he were hung.
Yeah.
All of
it's
those,
still
he,
be on
he
everyone's
would still
mind.
Have yeah. that core people that were going to, they would have to get rid of those core people too.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yes. He would have if he'd known who it was. But he's a captain. The captains don't have to explain anything to anybody.
Yeah.
To be honest.
But now you're in a different... You're not on the ship anymore, so times are
true.
Hard.
Nah.
You've got mutiny.
Yeah, he doesn't have to explain anything, but at the end of the day, he was going to leave them.
Yes.
He was going to resign. That was
in
the truth.
In his, like, state of
and
mind,
and so that was an argument. Like, this is the person that's leading you into the desert who was going to abandon you.
Yeah.
So that is, you know, a valid argument.
It is. It is, for sure. I guess just the... I mean, now it's whether they believe that, you know, Hickey killed Irving and then or not, you know. So that's kind of like the deciding factor on whether to go with Hickey or not. But moving on.
If they had listened to Crozier in the first place, they probably would have survived.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
true.
Basically, this at the end of the day, Hickey doesn't go anywhere anyways except for escapes, because Tumbach returns and, you know, destruction falls upon the camp.
Revenge. revenge for killing the
so
native
much
people.
Happened right. in that scene, which was like, how long was that?
Whole attack was crazy.
And it all happened so fast, and so much like happened while he was attacking.
Right.
And like Fitz James was firing up cannons. We had people going off in different groups. I was like, what?
It was the longest.
It was intense.
The longest attack in Toonbok. The longest like we've seen of Toonbok in action. It was exciting.
Yeah, I was definitely looking for the guy who was supposed to burn all the maps. I was like, what is he doing? Where is he at? Like, which one is he?
At one point, because, he was running around.
Right. I was like, is he going to burn those maps and then they're going to be lost?
I mean, at this point. Yeah. So I think what, especially this episode and last episode too, what I've really liked is, so we obviously all know how the story ends because it's a true in history. Well, in history, we know how the show ends, but we know what happens to the crew in the boat. So, but when you were making this show, how challenging was it to create those like suspenseful moments or moments of hope, knowing what we know that it, you know, and you still had to present them to us the way you did.
Well, I think if you imagine being in this situation, most of these men still had hope until the mm-hmm. moment they fell down and died. They had to. And when you give characters sort of that level of hope, they can bring all of their personality, their humor, their sarcasm, their ingenuity, all of those things remain intact. And so, you know, we wanted to just imagine that they made it. In terms of writing those scenes, because they were at
which we
imagined.
Do
whatever
you did good.
I already said from the first. I was like maybe third week or whatever. I was like a couple people made it.
Oh yeah,
they just didn't tell nobody, and their descendants are right here kicking it with us in AfterBuzz, and they go home be like, look, this movie based on our family, but we can't tell nobody, and they're out there like maybe it's Hickey or somebody, but somebody made it back, and they're like, we just not telling nobody because then we'd be wrong. But
I think that's what I like because I know how the. In real life, I know how history ends with it, but I still have hope for these guys during certain scenes. Right. And I'm like, don't, you know how it goes.
Especially good sir, because he can kind of communicate.
Oh, good
sir.
Of
course,
He doesn't
good
deserve
sir
to
good
go.
Sir.
He
doesn't deserve to go.
Good he sir. Marries Lady Silas, and their descendants are here.
I like that.
That'd be awesome.
That would be the happy ending.
I'm sorry, when Toonbok, before Toonbok came, and Collins was like running and laughing, it was a crazy scene. And then I don't know, like, whether he just pissed him off or what happened, but he came chasing afterwards. And that scene, I don't know, it was kind of funny to me.
I was kind of relieved because when Collins was in with Mr. Bridges or whatever, I saw him, like, eyeing the surgical equipment and stuff. I was like, either he's going to kill somebody or he's going to kill himself or whatever because... I don't know about you guys, but every episode, I'm like, that dang monkey. Like, that's where they end up, hitting your head against the wall till you die or whatever. So that seems like no fun. So I was like, all right, you know, what is, you know, so to me, Collins is past where most of the people are as far as the sickness. So I'm like, you know, I was kind of relieved, to be honest. I was like, okay, I mean, it's not going to be fun to get eaten.
Clearly.
But... you know, to like when you saw what happened to the monkey, to do that to yourself would be horrific.
But he did also, you know, stole the Peruvian with the
cocaine
and wine.
So he was
tripping.
Right.
He was
tripping hard. He didn't feel that much. He good.
You could tell when he walked out of those fences, like he is not doing too
good. No.
He's
I mean,
in a whole different
probably
world.
The best thing for
exactly.
But no, speaking of Toonbok, so and how we're. You know, real life obstacles that all these guys are going through. So the monster for you guys is like your own creation with it. Like, how was designing and like utilizing him in the show?
Well, it's from the book, and Dan Simmons, who wrote the book, took it from. It's sort of an amalgam of different parts of Inuit mythology to a degree. And but what we loved about having it, well, first of all, no one would have made the show if it didn't have a monster.
Necessary.
People have been saying like it feels like it's not as interesting as everything else.
Right.
We agree, but there was no network that was going to spend as much money on a horror show like this without some kind of horror hook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we embraced it rather than fight it. We just went with it and understood that we could deprioritize it or prioritize it as we needed to episode to episode. And that really what it is it's a kind of allegorical volume knob turned up to 11 about the same themes that everything else in the show is about, which is that they've come into this place with a certain level of hubris, a certain level of arrogance. They don't care to know how this world works before they try to claim it. And, you know, it's one of the reasons the monster doesn't look scarier, because we thought from in its context, it's kind of a majestic thing. It's right. So when we worked with Neville Page, who was our creature designer, we said, let's make it look presidential. That it is a kind of a ruler. And yeah. Then as
why did you make it look like Trump?
Why did that look like Donald? Why couldn't we have an Obama polar bear? I'm just going to say that.
And then as the show goes on and these men have more and more of an influence over the environment just by being there, and as it begins to eat them, and as we see at the end of this episode, eat their souls.
Yeah. Spiritual. Yeah.
It starts to get sicker and sicker and sicker. So they're all in the same boat now, as they're making one another sick.
Exactly.
The equilibrium of this place is shot.
Exactly, because he's eating the lead-based paint, too.
Right, exactly.
he's eating the lead that's driving them crazy.
And I just, from, you know, few episodes back, it was just one of, you know, my predictions that it was just had to be something spiritual as well, like you're saying, and part of their mythology. And when we saw Colin's like spirit get eaten out of him, it took it to a whole nother level. I was like, okay, so this is some real stuff.
It got real at the end there. Real. The soul sucking. I was like, oh.
And now I'm very curious to know like what happens to those souls. Like how does Tumbuk use that, or what goes on with that? So hopefully we'll see.
Tight lift.
We have two episodes that we have
two more.
Well, speaking of the next two episodes, do we want to go into some predictions?
I'm gonna be completely. I'm not gonna react.
So you
watch him.
Okay, we'll be watching you pan to Dave over here. I'll start with this side over here.
Okay.
Okay. predictions.
I know. People go so many ways.
Okay. So, Tumbuk is going to chow down on some of the escaped Marines.
Oh, I hope.
You know, he's going to get a few. Probably not Hickey, though. Hickey's probably going to be around for a while. But, you know, he's a few of those men. I don't know. So then I think, you know, they're going to see Lady Silence again.
Yeah.
And good.
Hopefully she'll bring snacks. That's what I was hoping.
I
don't understand.
Just like, for good sir, though. No one else.
Kill one seal, have one nice meal before this is wrapped up. I'm hoping for that. And I think
she just wants them to eat.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, both fractions are just going to be tighter and unfortunately warring against each other.
So I think that we're going to see what happened to Mr. Hickey in England, because I really think the person that signed up for the ship birth or whatever isn't the person that showed up.
Right.
So I think
I do want to see the rest of his story, yes.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that Mr. Good Sir, it will be focused a little bit more on him.
Ooh.
And we'll sort of see his breaking down as the person that he had emotional connection with, Lady Silence, is no longer there. And he feels truly alone, because the entire time he's been telling them, medical reasons, you're going to get sick if you eat this. This is happening and no one's listening.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that really listened to him was Lady Silence. And she's gone now.
Yeah. Right. That's true.
So want Good Sir to be lonelier?
I want him to... to run to her.
Just off on the ice.
They need to ride
out on the ice on the Tumbuk.
On Tumbuk, yeah. Ride him out.
He I want him to go live himself.
Go live your Eskimo life, dude.
He goes off by himself with a little knapsack as he goes journeying for her, so you don't really get to
like
see
Tumbuk
them together.
Feel like Tumbuk would spare Good Sir.
Yeah, I feel like too.
I think the reason Tumbuk didn't attack them was because she was there, and then when she was gone.
Right.
I didn't even put that together.
I thought that as well too, actually.
Yeah. No, I think definitely these two separate fractions, they will come together again, I believe, with a lot of more intensity, a lot more drama happening between the two groups. I also think Tumbuk is going to come back, and I want to. We're going to learn a little bit more about him and the spirit realm, and also Lady Silence. I think definitely we're going to see her again, and whether she will be help to the people or not, we'll see. I'm just keeping an eye out on to see the reactions here.
You know what I really well. Obviously, I want Hickey to finally meet his maker.
Yeah.
But you know who I want to do it. I want Lady Silence to take him out. I want her to pay revenge for her people. I want, you know, and I think she always knew Hickey was a bad dude, so she can join in.
Always.
That would be I'd really like that.
I would like that too. That would be cool.
You know?
He's been lying.
Cut out his tongue so he can't lie anymore.
Lie and lie.
No, whatever happened to, did we ever see his original boyfriend? That guy that threw him? I feel like he was also the beginning because he was in a nice little relationship at first. And then he got played.
You know, maybe that's what turned him.
Exactly. This is what makes people, this is how you become a failure.
Heartbreak. Heartbreak.
You
know, so
you start off, you think you're in a relationship, then the person betrays you, like you weren't anything. And he's like, but you were my like wife. I didn't even know what your face looked like. And now he's a psychopath.
Yeah, you're right. It's the heartbreak and the previous things he did.
Yes. Yeah, everything else.
It was a combination.
Right. What about your predictions?
That was it. I want her to come back, but I want her to first take care of Hickey.
Okay, wait a second. Hold on. So we saw what happened to the monkey. Whatever happened to the dog? Wasn't there a dog?
They shot the dog.
They shot the dog.
Hickey.
And they ate
it.
Okay, and then the cat. Wasn't there a cat, too?
there was a cat for the rats, I thought.
But they usually do have cats.
Yeah.
There wasn't a cat for the rat for a few episodes. Did somebody eat the cat? I always felt like the animals were going to go and...
Well, guys, that's about all the time we have for you today. But thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for joining us so much.
Thank you so much.
Feathered my cap to be
honest. You add so much depth to the analysis and really understanding.
It's awesome. It's been great.
Thank you so much.
So right. I'm Krista. You can find me everywhere at Krista Flengy.
I'm Danny Royce. You can find me everywhere at I Am Danny Royce.
This is Cherry Davis. You can find me everywhere, Cherry_LA on Twitter and Instagram.
What's up, party people? I'm Erica Edwards. You can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, D as in door, Edwards.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. See you next week. Have a good week.
Ciao for now.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.